Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle. We are located in West Philadelphia. Hello to everybody who is joining us via the internet, via YouTube and Facebook Live. Hallelujah. Welcome in this morning. Good to see you. And for everybody who's here in the sanctuary, good morning, good morning, good morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to open this up this morning with a prayer, and then I'm going to read through the scripture, and then we will get to the good part of the service, which is the preaching of our pastor. Amen. Amen. But I want to say hallelujah. I'm glad we were all able to make it here this morning. Amen. So if we could all stand for prayer. Christ Jesus, we thank you, O Lord. Thank you for opening the doors of the church. Thank you for making your word able to go out through the internet, that we could gather in your name, that we could be taught in your name. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Glory, 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 hallelujah. We thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for supplying our needs. Hallelujah. Thank you for being our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you for teaching us. Hallelujah. Thank you for always feeding us. Hallelujah. Thank you for protecting us. Hallelujah. Thank you for providing for us, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, oh Lord. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for taking on a human body and coming down and dwelling among men. We thank you for your ministry. We thank you for what you went through for us out of your love. We thank you for your victory over death. Hallelujah. Thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. For no greater love than a man lay down his life. Hallelujah. Or his friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Christ Jesus. We ask that you would anoint our pastor this morning to deliver the word that you have prepared for us. Lord, prepare our hearts and minds right now to receive your word. Soften our hearts. Don't let them get hard so that you can write that word on the fleshy table of our heart. And we would be edified this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you could remain standing, I'm going to read our scripture for this morning. And the scripture is coming out of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which hath so easily ensnared us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So without further ado, I'm going to bring before us our pastor, Elder Jonathan Ford, to deliver the word that the Lord has prepared for us. Amen. Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. I'm going to take advantage of your standing. We're going to go right to the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, this morning we're going to be in the third chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be looking after verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to add to the witness out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, 21 and 33. Again, Mark, the third chapter. And then Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 33 through 42. Amen. In the Gospel of Mark, it says, "And he entered the synagogue again. And a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' When he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' The man stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, and how they might destroy him." Amen. Let's just add to the witness out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, 21 and 33. If you have that, Matthew 21 and 33. And here is yet another parable. "There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went to a far country. Now, when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the wine dressers that they might receive its fruits. Wine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first this time, and they did likewise unto them. Then last of all," get this, "he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the wine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.' So they took him, cast him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers?" They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.'" May the Lord bless and consecrate his word to our hearts. Lord, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power and potency of the word of God. We pray now that your word might be written upon our hearts, that we might not sin against you. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen, amen, and amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. This Sunday, I want to talk about a showdown on the Sabbath. A showdown on the Sabbath. And our primary text, Mark chapter 3, starts out by saying, Jesus entered the synagogue again. There was a man there who had a withered hand. And I want to start this message out by saying something that is important concerning this man. That this man with the withered hand is not a certain man, but in fact represents every man. And here it is, because every man, including women and children, has something wrong with them. All right, let me say it again. Maybe the second time I'll get a little bit more amens. The man with the withered hand is not a certain man, a peculiar or unique man, but in fact represents every man. Why? Because every man has something wrong with them. Whether you know it or not, whether they share it with you, whether they tell you about it, every man, woman and child, has something wrong with them. There's something physically wrong with them. There could be something emotionally wrong with them. There could be something spiritually wrong with them. But I'm helping you out as your pastor. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to take a bet on it. Every man has something. If I stop preaching there, I done said enough. I done said enough. So here it is. This guy has a withered hand. Verse 2, and so they watched him closely. Now the they here refers to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And now remember, it's a showdown on the Sabbath. So on this particular Sabbath, the church is packed out. It's packed out with those who normally come to worship, and it's also packed out with those that are understanding what these guys are trying to do to Jesus. Now, in this text, you got to remember last Sunday, I told you that last Sunday, they tried to set him up on the Sabbath, but they couldn't do it. He foiled their plans. So now they said, hey, we're going to get him on the next Sabbath. And as word got out that they were going to have try to get Jesus again, and it turned into a showdown. Now this Sabbath at the synagogue, the house is packed. Because they know it's a showdown. It's the religious leaders versus Jesus the Christ. And so they watched him. They tell why they watched him. And they wanted to see whether he would heal the man with the withered hand. Now watch this. They were watching because, or let me go the other way. They were not watching because they were concerned about the man. Oh my goodness. It would seem like if they would be concerned, oh my God, if anybody get healed at today's service, I hope it's the man with the withered hand. He's been suffering all his life. He can't work. He can't get a job. He's handicapped. His family is dependent on him and he can't provide. Lord, if you're going to bless anybody this Sabbath, bless the guy with the withered hand. But that's not why they were watching. They were watching to see if Jesus would break the law of the Sabbath
and do which according to their law was unlawful. And whether or not they could find cause to bring charges against them. Verse 2. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. So here it is. Their plans to set up Jesus on the Sabbath had failed previously. But this particular Sabbath, they were committed to get him at all costs. And the key to it was the fact that it was the Sabbath. Okay? You got to understand that. The Sabbath is important. Here it is. First aid was deemed permissible to prevent an injury from worsening. But efforts toward a cure or a healing were regarded as work and must therefore wait until the passing of the Sabbath. You guys with me on that? So according to Jewish law, if someone was injured or hurt, you could help prevent them from bleeding, but you couldn't heal them. So if they needed surgery, you couldn't do the surgery. You could stop the bleeding, but the arm had to stay broken. You follow us? Look, man-made rules. Look at me. It even sounds foolish, don't it? That's how you know it's man. It don't even make sense. Here it is. I'm gonna read it again. First aid was deemed permissible, right? To prevent injury from worsening, but efforts towards a cure or a healing were regarded as work and therefore must wait until the passing of the Sabbath. A withered hand was obviously not life-threatening and therefore did not qualify as an exception to the Sabbath rules, where they said they may not straighten a deformed body or set a broken limb. That's out of the Torah. That's out of the Jewish law. They can't fix it. Just going to have to wait till Monday, to wait till the next day. So here it is. It's the showdown. Verse 3, here it is. So now, he says to the man, this is Jesus. He's now talking to the man with the withered hand. And he says to him, step forward. With one statement, Jesus puts this guy and all of his business on Front Street. One statement, two words, step forward. No longer could this guy simply hide in the crowd. Now, I don't know about you, but this is my mind word, my own imagination. This is how I think. In my mind, I see the guy with the withered hand coming to the synagogue. But as he comes to the synagogue, he comes in with his hand in his pocket. Why? What do all men want to do? Hide their problem. I can deal with it as long as what? Nobody else knows. So I'm going to come to church, but I'm just going to take my withered hand, put it in my pocket. Therefore, I can just what? Mix in the crowd. I don't stand out. Nobody notices me. Nobody notices what I'm doing. No one notices what I'm going through. I want to come and see Jesus. I really do. I just don't want anybody to notice what's wrong with me. But with one statement, Jesus calls this guy from out of the balcony down into the front of the synagogue, because he says to him, step forward. Some translation says, stand here in the middle. Jesus called him to him. Now, Jesus' custom on the synagogue was always to do what? Read from the scrolls. That meant, in our modern thinking, Jesus was always in the pulpit, up front, where the what? The lights are, where the cameras are pointing. Jesus calls this guy, who wants to remain in obscurity, he calls them out to the front of everybody.
Now, I'm sure this guy, when he finally got his version of the Bible, and he read in Mark that in the chapter before, when Jesus healed the leper, he healed the leper in private. Wasn't nobody around. And matter of fact, it was private, and Jesus told him, he said, not only did I heal, he said, I don't want you to tell nobody. Nobody. Now that guy, because of his condition, everybody already knew what he was. You follow what I'm saying? But this guy, the only way people were to know about his affliction is for him to take out his hand. But as long as he could keep his hand hidden, tucked away, or somewhere where it wasn't required to be used, he looked like a normal guy. Right? Touch your neighbor and say, you got to come forward. Here it is. Luke 9:26 says this, for whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. When it comes to you and Jesus Christ, you cannot be ashamed. Watch this. Not only can you not be ashamed, but watch this. You can't be ashamed of your problem. Are you with me? Because if you're ashamed of your problem, you'll never bring it to Jesus. Watch this. You'll go to church every Sunday. You'll be there. But people will never notice that every time you come, your hand is always, hey, good morning. God bless you. God bless you. How are you this morning? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Hey, Pastor, how are you? Good. I catch you next Sunday. But he never takes his hands out of his pocket. So he seems like to all of us, he's just an ordinary guy, seemingly with no problems. Are you with me? Here it is. Let's fast track it. Here it is. So now, here's the showdown. So first Jesus talks to the man. You step forward. Verse 4, now he begins to talk to the religious leaders, those who are there to ensnare him. He says to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or evil? Is it lawful on the Sabbath to save life or to kill? This is the question he poses to the religious leaders. Shakespeare said in his play Hamlet, to be or not to be. That the question. That's what Hamlet said in his book. But Jesus says in his book, is it lawful on the Sabbath to either save life, are you with me, or to destroy? Is it lawful on the Sabbath either to do good or to do evil? Now, let I remind you, we are talking about the Lord of the Sabbath. I wish I had help here. If I keep going slow, maybe y'all kick in after a while. I'm going as slow as I possibly can. You understand? I didn't study this all week, so I'm down the road with it. I can shout now and be down. But look, here it is. Step forward. That's to the man, to the religious leaders. He wants to know, is it lawful? What should I do here? Good or evil? Save life or destroy it? And that may have been Hamlet's question, but it wasn't Jesus. Here it is. Here's the real question. When faced with a question of legality or morality, the religious leaders remained silent. Look what he gives them. The real question is, are you going to judge this man on a legal basis with his withered hand, or are you going to be filled with compassion and deal with his condition on a moral basis? That's the question. And when he poses it to the Pharisees, look what the text says, but they kept silent. One of the things that I have grown to love about this generation of young people is that they refuse to keep silent. The social unrest of the last year behind the unlawful killings of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor was in large part led by young people who refused to keep quiet. They refused to just go along with the status quo. They refused to continue to just let it always be the way it always has been. Are you with me? And I'm not only glad that this generation of young people has the vibrancy, the commitment, and the passion to speak up, but I'm also glad that our God is also one who refuses to keep silent. This is where I wish I had my real church now. Because when no one could or no one would speak up for us, it was God who said, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll stand for them. I'll speak for them. Put their sins onto my account. I refuse to let their salvation be a question of legality or morality." Jesus said, "I know that they're wrong because the Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory. So according to the law, you were guilty. I was guilty. All of mankind guilty of the law of God. But Jesus stepped in and made it a question, not of legality, but of morality. He said, I'll lay down my own life that they might go free. Why? Because I love them so." Isn't that John's testimony? John said what? "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son that he might die in our place instead of ourselves." Here it is. Conclusion. Here it is. Verse 5. When he had looked around, the Bible said he was angry with them. And here it is. Look what it says. It tells us why. Because he was grieved by the hardness of their hearts. He said, "I can't believe what I'm witnessing." You guys would rather see this guy continue to suffer in this condition to satisfy your law versus the one who has established the law is now present. And because he established the law, it meant that he was above the law. Therefore, he declared last Sunday, he was Lord over the Sabbath. He said, "You guys can decide, should I heal him or should I allow him to continue to suffer?" And their silence indicated that they preferred for the man to suffer versus being healed. Are you guys with me on this? Here it is. Jesus' anger is a description of righteous indignation. The greatest enemy of divine love and justice is not opposition or malice, but hardness of heart and indifference to divine grace. I'm going to say it again. The greatest enemy of divine love and justice is not opposition or malice, but rather hardness of heart and indifference to divine grace. If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. I'm finished with it. So now Jesus turns his attention back to the man with the withered hand. He looks at him and he says this. He said, now I want you to stretch out your hand. That hand that you have been hiding in your pocket for all of these years, said, I want you to take it out. And I want you to let everybody see what's wrong with you. This is what he's telling them. Got to take it out. He said, not only after you take it out, then I want you to stretch it out towards me. Are you with me on this? The very thing that this man and all men feared the most is now before him. He must reveal his deformity and make a decision. Do I keep it in my pocket? Or do I take it out and give it to Jesus? If I leave it in my pocket, I can just act like Jesus don't know what he's talking about. Why Jesus called me up? What's all this about? I just came up because he's Jesus. I don't know what he's talking about. Or do I take it out of my pocket and let all my families and friends, my co-workers, all of my fellow deacons, all of my fellow pastors really see what's going on with my hand? He's got a choice to make. Here it is. Now, he could refuse and spare himself the humiliation of everyone seeing and knowing his deformity. Just leave it in your pocket. Look at somebody and say, just leave your hand in your pocket. If you do that, won't nobody know. You can keep on going through life just the way you are. Right? But in so doing, he would become like the religious leaders who refused to open themselves up to the word of Jesus. Or, here it is, he can go another way with it. He could take the risk of faith and respond to the word of God. Ask your neighbor, what you going to do? Are you going to take it out or are you going to leave it in? Are you going to take a risk on the fact that Jesus can do something with your hand? Now look at this. If you don't believe Jesus can fix your hand, you do what? You leave it in your pocket. But if anything in you believes that God is able to do exactly what he promised he would do, it stirs up your faith. It may not be a lot of faith, but the Bible says it only takes a grain of mustard seed in the amount of faith for God to move mountains in your life. Here it is. I'm finished with it. Here it is. So Mark tells us, in spite of the man's fear, trepidation, and humiliation, he takes his hand out of his pocket for all the world to now see who he really is. and he stretches it out towards Jesus. This is what I like about it. Read the text. Jesus doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything. He makes no sudden moves. Doesn't speak any prophetic words. Because the power was already in the man. Jesus was simply there to help pull it out. I don't know. I'm finished. I'm telling you, I'm finished. Who I'm preaching to this Sunday. But the power, the authority is already inside of you. My job this Sunday was to help you pull, get it out of your pocket. God is ready to bless you. Give him a praise. Here it is. The Bible says, and his hand was restored and made like unto the other. Here it is. I'm finished. I declare to you today, whatever deformity you may have, whatever dysfunction you may be experiencing, and regardless of whatever disgrace may be in your past, if you just take it out of your pocket and stretch it out to God, he will, he's able, he'll do it, he'll restore it, and make it brand, he'll make it brand new. Somebody give the Lord a praise right now. Stretch it out. Yes. Take it out of your pocket. Get it out. Get it out. Stretch it out to Jesus. Stretch it out to... Woo! He will. He's able. He can do it. Touch three people and just tell them, stretch it out. Stretch it out. Whatever it is, stretch it out. Whatever you've done, stretch it out. Wherever you've been, stretch it out. He will. He will. Yes. I will stretch it out. Yes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is power. It is power. It is power to those that. I got to stretch it out. I got the strength. Yes. 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 lifted my hand unto thee, O Lord. Yes. 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 Woo! Yes. I made up my mind. I'm gonna stretch it out. I'm going to stretch it out. I'm going to stretch it out. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe, there may be one, two, or three witnesses in the house that can say, Pastor, I know what the withered man is going through, because one day in my life, Jesus challenged me to take my hand out of my pocket and stretch it out. If that's your testimony, I dare you this Sunday, stand up and give God the praise. Ay, 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 ay. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. I can't do nothing. Here it is, Lord. It's withered. It don't work. But I'll stretch it unto thee. Yeah. Woo. Yes. It's withered. It don't work. I can't do nothing with it. But I give it unto thee. Oh. Yes. Yes. My. Yes. Yes. Yes again. So the next time you find yourself in a showdown on the Sabbath, the next time you find yourself with people making fun over your withered hand, do what the guy with the withered hand did. And stretch it, stretch it, stretch it. Yes. Woo! Somebody give God a praise right now. Right now, right now.
look, this is what I want you to get. Whoever's sitting next to you, whether here or at home, just tell them, as long as it's withered, watch this, it won't work anyway. I wish I had a real church this. As long as it's withered, it won't work. It can't work. But if you just take it out of your and stretch it out under Jesus, he will. He will. He will. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Yes. Yes. Ow, 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 ow. Yes. Oh my goodness. Thanks be unto our God. Woo! All week long, Jermaine and I have been watching the collegiate track championships, track events, field events. And one of the young ladies, when it came time for her turn to high jump, she had a thing she does. She's standing back. She's measuring her run up to the poles. And like most high jumpers, they start by rocking back. Start building up some of that momentum from a standstill. But this young lady added something to her startup. She not only rocked, but as she got closer to takeoff, she would take a hand and start moving a hand. Start moving her arms until finally she was ready to launch. She took those hands, stretched them out, gave them over to God, and God, he worked it. He worked it. He worked it out. He'll do it. I know you guys want to go for it. Y'all got Brother Calloway over there on the base. So these guys like, go ahead, Pastor, keep going. Those guys over there said, Pastor, our hands ain't withered no more. Not this Sunday. We used to sing a song in the old church bar.
As you say, I looked at my hands. Hands that were once withered, worthless, powerless. But when I came to Jesus, Lillian, he never said a word. He didn't spit in the ground. He didn't touch my face. He didn't take me by my hand. He simply told me to take what was worthless and just give it to him. That's all he said. And the Bible said, while he stretched it out, you got to be kidding me. I'm 48 years old. My hand barred all of my life. I'm unemployed. I'm on disability. I can never work. But at the words of Jesus, it wasn't just a showdown between the Pharisees and Jesus. It was a showdown between this man's faith and his enemy. He overcame by simply stretching out. His deformity was a withered hand. The question this Sunday, what's your deformity? What is it that you're ashamed of? Because it doesn't work. What is it that every time you get around the church folk, you always put it? That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's what he died for. Give it. Stretch it out to Jesus. If you're watching us over the internet today, I declare unto you that if you would just take it out of your pocket, stretch it out to Jesus. Tell him, here it is, Lord. I've hidden it all my life. Today I give it to you. Today. I give you my hand. Today, Lord, I give you my heart. Today, Lord, I give you all of my hurt, all of my pain, all of my fears, all of my dysfunction, all of my disgraceful acts. Today, right here, where everybody can see. Because, Lord, if you don't heal me, if you don't do something with this withered hand, nothing will ever be done. I'll live and die with a withered hand. Why won't you stretch it out this Sunday? Wherever you are, you're here in the sanctuary, your home in your living room. Why won't you stretch your hand out? Give it to Jesus. Give it to him. Stretch it out to him. Tell God about it. You stretch out to him. My Bible tells me if you draw near unto God, God will draw near unto you. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Whatever it is, whatever fear you have, whatever thing you've done that you're ashamed of, come on, stretch it out. Come on, it's healing in the house. Hope is in the house.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. All you got to do is stretch it out. You'll make it brand new. And not only your hands, but your feet, your mind, your body. It says, behold, all things are passed away. And now all things have become new in Christ Jesus. Won't you give your life to Christ today? Give him that withered life, that withered existence. That's why he came. Accept Jesus Christ today, your Lord and your Savior. Always remember, he is Lord over the Sabbath. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. 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 So, for those who are in the sanctuary and those who are watching over the internet, and you are wondering, why are they so happy? Why is this touching them so much? One word, salvation. And the Lord said, if you will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe it in thine heart that God hath saved him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So if you are wondering, what does it take for me to become a Christian? How do I become saved? I just gave it to you. Confession and belief. But we want to help you on that walk. For we are all sinners. Everyone that you have seen step up here in the pulpit, everyone who's out in the sanctuary, we were all born in sin. But we want to help you draw nearer to the Lord so that you would stretch out your hand. So you can reach us at the church's website. You can click on the prayer link. You can click on the information link. Or you can call at 215-748-4578. Just call. Leave a message. We will reach out to you and help you on the path of salvation. Amen? Amen. With that, we're going to move forward in our service. I'm going to call up Deacon Lillian, and she is going to conduct our offering. Amen? Amen.
Barry. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Amen.
And now our announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of the church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. In response to the city of Philadelphia's most recent restrictions on religious services, we are now limited to 10 people in the sanctuary and 12 people in our third floor overflow area. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice. Please keep this in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. For the month of June, Bible study Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. in partnership with our New Jersey-based Bible study. The Google link is https://meet.google.com/QEC-RUGB-PNM. Our other announcements, June 20th is Father's Day. And June 25th, YLE Family Night at 7 p.m. The Zoom link will be provided. That concludes our announcements. Now we will have our benediction from our pastor, Jonathan Ford.
God bless you, Taylor. Shall we all stand? Hey, I just want to add a footnote to the announcements. On next Sunday, I want to invite all men to join me next Sunday here in the tabernacle. I'm asking all men, old men, young men, our young boys, to come next Sunday. It's Father's Day. I've got a special message for fathers. The Lord has given me a special message for sons. So you may be saying it's Father's Day, but Pastor, I'm not a father. And while every man may not be a father, every man is. He is somebody's son. So if you would, join me next Sunday. Get the word out. They'll put it out on social media. Men, I need you here on next Sunday as we celebrate our Heavenly Father. Amen. Hey, God bless you. I really appreciate your patience, your attention, your commitment to the Word of God. And so, as I stand before Christ, I bless you, even as Christ Himself blesses you. Go in peace. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in your faith. And may your spirit be made light and rejoice in the power and might of the Almighty God. Be blessed, Taylor Nation. I'll see you next Sunday. Same bat time, same bat channel. God bless you, Taylor.